We're here in the church recording. It's 11 o'clock, and I suspect that many of you are still in your homes. Now, I just encourage you to try and focus your hearts and minds. You know, we have a regular routine that we normally practice on Sunday mornings. We get up, we have our breakfast, we get ready for church, we gather our Bible and other things and our children, and make our way here, have Sunday school, and by the time we sit down for the worship service, you know, our hearts are focused, and a lot of the other thoughts that normally crowd in from a busy week are set aside. So I just encourage you right now, we're going to pray, and I encourage you right now just to purposely focus your mind, still your heart, and put those other things out of your mind. Just give the Lord your full attention while we look at His Word this morning. Father, I ask You for Your help. We all need Your help, O Lord. We don't come in our own merit and our own strength, Lord. We actually come in weakness. And Father, we know we're distracted by so many things, and there's so much going on this week. But Lord, it's hard to just stop and focus on You. But that's what we're asking, Lord. By Your Holy Spirit, I pray that You would help me and anoint me, Lord, to pray and preach Your Word. I pray, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters and those who are just, Lord, watching, maybe for the first time. Maybe they don't even know us. I just pray, oh God, You would help them to receive from Your Word. It's a promise that You gave us, Lord, that Your Word would not return back to You void, meaning that it'll accomplish the job that You designed it for, to encourage, to correct, to give us, teach us wisdom, to make us into Your image. Help us, O God, I pray, as we look to Your Word now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to look at His Word right now. And I've called my sermon this morning, Accept the Lord. And I mean that with the letter E. You could also say, unless the Lord. We're all very much impacted by the coronavirus. Amen. Thank you. In case you're wondering, I have two brothers here with me this morning. They are more than 25 feet apart. We are practicing quadruple social distancing at this time. We're all impacted. It's in the news continuously. It's through the community, changing all that we do and how we do it, changing how we see the world, changing how we interact with strangers and families and friends, and to shaking up world financial markets. But on the other hand, life somehow is carrying on. We had beautiful April weather this week. I actually went out and barbecued some burgers. Just a normal thing. This virus, though, has shown us just how fragile the whole world system is. Of course, coronavirus has been around for thousands of years. It's related to the common cold. And our fragility has always been there. We were simply ignorant of it, or maybe we forgot. Our health is fragile. Make no mistake, you might be exposed to this virus and be in the presence of Jesus in 2 weeks. But all the normal causes of death have not abated. Of the Canadians who die in an average year, 30% die of heart disease. 30% die of cancer, 20% of heart disease, 5% of the influenza pneumonia. No, I mixed that up. I'll start again. Cancer kills 30%, heart disease 20%, stroke kills 5%, and influenza, the ordinary influenza pneumonia, kills 2%, or about 5,000 people a year. That's in a normal year. What am I saying, that COVID-19 isn't serious? Not at all. I strongly urge you to take all the recommended precautions. I'm simply reminding you of what should be obvious to us all, that death is never satisfied, just like Proverbs 27 tells us. COVID-19 is only reminding us of what every believer should already know, that life is short and fragile. Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16 says this, "As for man, his days are like the grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes, the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place shall know it no more." Life is fragile. Even in the best case scenario, it's short. That's why we need to always be looking to eternal life. Our economy is fragile. First of all, let me say that the Lord's economy and the country's economy are not the same thing. That, my friends, means that if I honor Him with all that I have, that my economy and Canada's economy are two different things. Proverbs 18, verse 10, 11 tells us this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The rich man, though, his wealth is his strong tower and high wall in his imagination." My friends, did you start to imagine that your wealth was a high wall of protection against trouble in this life? Well, then you just got an education. My friends, the government is fragile. Governments are always fragile. We forget that because we've grown up in Canada. And stability is all that we've ever known. Not so around the rest of the world. And if you study history, you know that that's not a historical norm. Governments are fragile because they depend on people, and people are fickle. In fact, they're dependably fickle. You can't even trust them to look after their own self-interest. It's hard to find people who will ignore their own needs and look to the interests of a nation. The food supply. Well, we have seen how little it takes to disrupt the food supply. A very few people panicked, and suddenly the shelves were empty. You couldn't buy toilet paper. The bread was gone. Because everyone panicked? No, just a very few. And suddenly we've seen that daily flow of goods and services is very fragile. Everything that we thought was so stable is only as stable as the people who run it. People are easily affected by so many things. We like to think of Canada as this stable place, this resilient country that it was two generations ago. But that generation, which was loyal to their family and to their church and to their community and to their nation and was willing to die for any of those, has passed. And now there's a new generation. And it remains yet to be seen whether they will understand the difference between political jargon and sacrificial citizenship. Ultimately, people are only as stable as their faith allows them to be. Only as stable as their faith allows them to be. If their faith is in political leaders and they fail, what then? Cynicism? Radical activism? If their faith is in the World Health Organization and they tell everybody in January that COVID isn't contagious at all and go ahead and travel internationally, and politicians, you know, purposely go to Chinatown and say, "See, look how wonderful it is here and there's no danger." And then we understand later that all of that was absolute foolishness, if not utter deception. Do we then say that, well, we're never going to trust them again? Never going to trust medicine or doctors again? Is that what we do? Do we lose faith in them? If your faith is in vitamin C and it doesn't help, if your faith is in your own forethought and planning, but you can't buy a N95 mask for any amount of money, what then? And when a virus comes along that you never dreamed of in your worst nightmare, what then should we do? When everything looks that we thought was so stable turns out can be swept away in moments, do we just give up? Do we become fatalistic? Are we just like rocks on the beach being washed over by the tide? No. 1,000 times no. We should prepare. We should prepare better than we ever have before. And what do I mean? Because working towards better health,
better finances, stronger families, more stable government, strong communities is only ever half of what we need to do, and the small half at that. If there's anything we should learn through all of this, it is this principle that Psalm 127 tells us. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps watch in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman who keeps watch watches in vain. The lesson is not that we should give up trying to build a good life for our families or trying to get, trying to do the very best that we can. You don't want to be like the father of Abraham Lincoln, who thought education was a waste if you could possibly live without it. Why, if you could survive in a log cabin with a dirt floor without an education, why would you go get it? Fortunate for the United States that Abraham found some books and taught himself to read, taught himself law, went on to become one of the greatest of American presidents, and certainly one of the greatest orators in the last 200 years. No, the lesson is not to do as little as possible to get by. The lesson is that if the Lord isn't in it, that it will not and cannot last. That's the lesson. If the Lord does not build the house, your labor is in vain. Reminds me of the story of the Tower of Babel. It says that the men came to a plain in the land of Shinar, and they decided to build a tower up to the heavens. But God wasn't in it. God wasn't in their plans, and they got busy. And then God confused their languages, and the project fell apart. If God isn't in it, it cannot prosper. How many of us have fallen into the trap of building our own fame, our own legacy, only to have God allow the thing collapse? Beloved, are you building your kingdom or His? Everything in this life falls into one of two categories. It's for His kingdom, it's for my kingdom. Everything that we do, we can do in one of two ways, for His kingdom or for my kingdom. It depends on how you do it. There's more than one way to do your job. There's more than one way to raise your kids. There's more than one way to handle your finances. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps watch in vain. Today, with COVID-19 in the news constantly, we're being continuously urged to be hypervigilant. The trouble is that this virus is so contagious that a solitary moment of inattention, of forgetfulness, could be your undoing. This, of course, causes high levels of anxiety, especially for those of us who are already prone to worry. Well, my friends, there's no better time to face the hard reality. You never had it under control. That's the fact. You never really did have it under control. That was a delusion. Your life, your health, your finances have always been under His control, not yours. Just be grateful in these days that you're not an atheist. They believe that their life is at the mercy of some random chance that cares for much of them as dirt. Now that's not much comfort. As hard as it may be to accept that your life is in His hands, and that if He doesn't guard your life, it's without protection, it's better to depend on a benevolent king than random chance. If the Lord doesn't guard your life, you are without walls, without weapons, without armor. You are prey about to be devoured. And we have seen how quickly the rich and famous fall under the forces of this world, and none have discovered how to keep their strength into their 90s and 100s. No, we all get old and die. No, this life is shorter for all and precarious at best than we can know. We can know that the Lord is building the house, that the Lord is guarding my city, the Lord is building my house, And so I still build, I still guard, but it's with His help and His support. My confidence is not that I'm smart enough or fast enough or strong enough. No, my confidence in this is in the Lord of the whole universe, the Creator of all this marvelous diversity and complexity of order and design, such magnitude, it's beyond imagination. My confidence is in the lover of my soul. My confidence is in the one who sacrificed His life on that terrible cross. My confidence is in the one who proved His love and wisdom at Calvary. My confidence is not in myself. As Paul said, I count all of my accomplishments as dung compared to the surpassing excellence of knowing Jesus Christ. Wash your hands. Keep 6 feet away. Follow the rules. Just know that last year and the year before, when you weren't thinking about the coronavirus coming from China, your life was in His hands then. And now, today, when you are so acutely aware of your own fragile life and so aware of your mortality, your life is still under His protection. Psalm 17 says this, verse 5. Hold up my going in my path, and do not let my footsteps slip. I have called upon Thee, for You will hear me, O God. Incline Your ear to me and hear my speech. Show by Your marvelous loving kindness that Thou savest by Thy right hand them that put their trust in Thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of Your eye and hide me in the shadow of Your wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies, and I call that COVID-19, a deadly enemy who compasses me about. Beloved, in these times of distress and fear, throw yourself on His loving kindness. Call on Him, for He will hear. He will listen. Go ahead and ask. O Lord, show Your marvelous loving kindness. O Lord, show Your marvelous loving kindness to me and to my wife and to my children and to my grandchildren. Lord, show Your marvelous loving kindness to my friends, to my neighbors, Lord, even to my enemies. O Lord, You promised to save me by Your right hand. You have promised to keep me as the apple of Your eye. Lord, today I will put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I will surrender my life into Your hands. It's enough for me that You love me, and that when this life is over, You will receive me into Your heaven. After all, I am no better than the thief who was crucified next to Christ. And He said, Lord, remember when You come to my kingdom. And Jesus said, You'll be with me today in paradise. I'm no better than Him. And I ask for no more than He did. Lord, remember me when You come to Your kingdom. I ask You to pray with me as we close. I would ask that right where you are, just bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me. Lord, forgive me that I thought more highly of myself than I ought to. Lord, forgive me that I have sinned against You and broken Your law. Lord, forgive me that I have ignored Your kingdom and built my own kingdom. Lord, I commit to serve You all my days. Lord, I commit to live my life in such a way that it will build Your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Beloved, God bless you this week. Keep you safe. keep watching for whatever other videos we may post to our website. And do not be afraid. Do not hesitate to call or text me with your prayer requests. It's my honor to pray for them. Amen.